So over the last couple of weeks, we've been embarking on a little journey, and I kind of wanted to share with you the little bones of that journey. Unbeknownst to you, we talked about being born from above, and then last week we talked about bearing the word, and I was excited because I did a little study in preparing for this kind of thing, and discovered that I could map out what I call the process of redemption, or the progress of redemption, if you might want to call. And as I've been reading and doing my studying, and as I was on sabbatical, I read a gentleman by the name of Dallas Willard, and I've gone back and I've reread his stuff. And he talks about communication, communion, and union at the top, you'll see. And that the process of redemption circulates around those three ideas. Is that communication, as I would title it, is believe. And communication is where we need to be reconciled unto God. Every individual needs to be reconciled unto God. And we're created in God's image. And that it's only through faith in Jesus that one's made right with God. He who receives Jesus receives God. So we are to communicate that. We are to be the ones that bear the word and bear the communication about God. So we call that the realm of water. Right? Paul says what? We need to be born of what? Water and spirit. Each of us, when we're born in the realm of water. Right? A natural birth. But because of sin in the garden between Adam and Eve and God, the curse of sin came upon all of us. And so we're in the realm of water, and we need to be born again into the realm of the Spirit. And so we have this process of redemption. So in the middle, we have to know Christ. And so we have this new creation, this being born again, that is circulated by repentance and baptism. It's a belief in Jesus. And so in this process of redemption, we come into this area of communion. After we know and believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're born into this church. We're born again. We become into the church where we have communion and we belong. We start walking the road of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. And as a result of being born again, we have peace with God. But in this area here, under communion, we have these areas that we come into being, if you want to say disciplines. One of the disciplines is being washed by the word. We talked last week about bearing the word. That as believers of Christ and followers of Christ, we have to bear the word. We need to be in the word. We need to do what the word says. So we need to be washed in the word. Because we are now the temple of God. When we came to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he imparted us with his spirit. We talked about that the week before. Being born from above, we get imparted with the person, the presence, and the power of Jesus, and that is by the Holy Spirit. We become a temple of God. So being a temple of God, we're washed in the word, and many temples become what? The communion of the saints. We become the church. So this morning we're talking about you being united in Christ. When we become born again, born from above, and we're bearing the word, we become united with Christ. That's the secret and the amazing story of the resurrection. So we're going to look at that this morning. So there's a little road map of where we're going and what we're doing. And on the bottom is what's called the ministry of reconciliation. This is the responsibility of each believer and follower of Christ, is a ministry of reconciliation, is redeeming men into the kingdom of God. by sharing the love of Christ, the message of Christ, and the hope of the kingdom of God. Here we have kingdom citizens. Here we have earthly citizens. Our responsibility is to bear the word, be united with Christ, be a temple of God, and we go back into the world. And we connect and we preach the gospel. We share the love of Christ. That's a simple roadmap of where we are. What we're talking about, a process of redemption. This morning, sermon's called Be Full in Christ. Be full in Christ. First of all, how many of you ever played hide and go seek? Hide and go seek as a kid. Maybe even as an adult. I would say it's even funner, if that's a word, funner, to play hide and seek as an adult, especially on your spouse, right? I play hide and seek every Sunday morning with my dog, Nico, because I get up at like 5:30 in the morning, and he's not allowed to come out because he's usually sleeping with either Jordan or Naomi or with Lynette. And he's not allowed to come out of the room until they get up. So he just waits. He's sleeping, but at the same time he's going, "Where's Dad? Where's Dad? I want to be with Dad." So the moment they open that door, I hear Nico. Comes down the stairs, looks in the living room, Dad's not there. He goes into the den, Dad's not there. Eventually he makes his way downstairs. I hear him come down. And then he finds me in my office downstairs. And he says, "Good morning, Dad, I found you." Hide and seek. Well, this morning we're going to talk about hide and seek, but being hidden in Christ, being full in Christ. It reminds me of another illustration of my kids when they're at youth group, Taylor and Michaela more specifically, but they used to have a game that they played at youth. It was called Sardines. Have you ever heard of that? Sardines is where a person hides. And what? How does it go?
One person hides.
Yes. Yes. That's it. So one person hides, and then everybody's on a tour to go find where they've hidden. And once you find them, you hide with them. And then you just slowly stack upon each other. And you become sardines. And the person who finds them last loses, right? Is that how it goes? Something like that? But, so if you ever want to try something, maybe we'll do that at the Christmas party this year. We'll play sardines. By the way, we don't have that slide up there this morning. But we're having a Christmas get-together with the church on the 17th, Sunday, December 17th. So plan for it. But we're going to do our Christmas get-together as a group. So we're planning on having appetizers and dessert. We'll get that sign-up sheet out to you guys for next Sunday. And then we'll do an auction. We've done an auction in the past where we've auctioned off desserts. So you're going to be sitting in tables, and if you want dessert that night, it's your responsibility to buy a dessert. You can do it with just yourself and not share with anybody, or you can buy it as a table and share it with each other. But we're doing this as a fundraiser. As we've done in the past year, we've done a fundraiser, and we're going to do a fundraiser. We're going to call it Gnome Name Christmas. Did you catch that? Gnome Name Christmas. Name is North American Indigenous Ministries. Dean and Isaac, which we introduced you guys to, they are now part, we're supporting them in Muscatchees. And so we're going to do a fundraiser for them and their ministry in Muscatchees. So we're calling it Gnome Name Christmas. The gnome is what? Gnomes. How many of you like gnomes? I call it gnomes. I wanted to have fun. Gnomes. But gnome named Christmas. So we're going to have gnomes and decorate with gnomes and all that kind of stuff. But we are going to be planning on doing that December 17th. So we'll have that information out to you next week. being full in Christ. 1 Corinthians 1, 30 to 31 says this, the Apostle Paul. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that what, as it is written, the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. Who should we boast in? We boast in the Lord because he is what? He is our source of life. Colossians 3, 1 to 4 is our main scripture verse this morning. And that says this. So if you've been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God. When the Messiah, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Amen? Amen. May the reading and the receiving of God's word this morning, may we be blessed. There's a lot of meat in just those few verses. Believer, your life is risen with Christ. Each believer and follower of Christ is risen with Christ. This is a fact. It's not conjecture. It's not emotionalism or sensationalism. If you have surrendered your life to Christ, your sin is forgiven, and you are accepted by God in Christ. How is that? It's because of the great love the Father has for the Son, and the great love that the Son has for the Father. They are indivisible. They are one. One has the mind of the other. Each has the love of the one. They have one spirit, they have one mind, one righteousness, one justice. Having sent his Son, the Son willingly going, sinful flesh was reconciled unto God. The Father sent his Son, the Son obeyed the Father. The Father loves the world, the Son loves the world. And he loved it to death on a cross. One spirit, one mind, one love. Flesh that knew no sin paid the price and redeemed all flesh that knew nothing but sin. Romans 8, 3 to 5. One spirit in the Father and the Son united in one purpose. What's the one purpose? One kingdom, one flesh, no opposition, no opposing kingdom. That's the purpose. Just as the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwelt in Christ, the same spirit of God dwells in you and I, giving us life to the mortal body. Romans 8, 11. So you, believer, are not of the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So live in and with the Spirit. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Romans 8, 5 to 6 and 9. As the Apostle Paul says to the Romans, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We are no longer under sin and death if you know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Paul asks us, believer, are you hidden in Christ? Are we hidden in Christ? If we have placed our faith and trust in Christ, we are hidden in Christ because the Spirit lives in us. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. What's the idea that comes across? We are one. One God, one Spirit, one kingdom, one love, one righteousness, one faith. Have we drank the drink of Christ? Have we drunk his blood? Have we eaten his body? That was the offensive statement that the believers, the followers of Christ, who didn't quite see him, didn't quite understand who he was, were offended by. Have you drunk the one drink? Have you eaten the one body? Are you hidden in Christ? The Spirit of God in you will confirm this. If not, you have not. As the Apostle Paul states, the Spirit will bear with our spirit that we are children of God. In fact, heirs of God, being joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:16. Are we hidden with Christ? Are you married to Christ? If we are not married to Christ, we are still bound to sin. Only upon a righteous death is one discharged from sin, Romans 7:6. Is anyone righteous? No, not one. No one is righteous except one, who is Jesus. Are we married to Jesus? The Apostle Paul uses the analogy from marriage. While you and your spouse are living, you are bound to one another because of law and your oath before God. They are binding. You will have no other. Sin is at your door if you do. And you can be assured death will have you. But if one of the two of you pass on, the one is left free to marry another because they've been discharged from the law concerning marriage and concerning God's ordinances. So is being raised with Christ. When I join in faith in Christ, I die to the law through the body of Christ. Sin's hold is dissolved. Death no longer has a valid claim because I am hidden in the death and life of Christ. His perfect, sinless, sacrificial life covers mine. Jesus' life, his perfectness, his holiness becomes my covering. It's like a blanket that you put on. But instead, Jesus puts it on you by his blood, by his sacrifice, and it's cemented in his resurrection. You have a covering, an anointing of Christ if Jesus is your Lord and your Messiah. You are hidden in him. Amen? Romans 7:6. But now we have been released from the law, since we have died to what held us, so that we may serve in the new way of the Spirit, and not in the old letter of the law. When we die to sin, we walk in newness of life in the Spirit. Ephesians 2:1, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:6, together with Christ Jesus, he also raised us up and seated us in the heavens. Believer, your place is in place in the heavens. Your place is not on earth. It is in the heavens. Pastor Warren Wiersbe makes this anonymous quote, life is what you are alive to. Think about that. Life is what you are alive to. What are you and I alive to? What are we hidden in? For the Apostle Paul, he was alive to Christ. He says in Philippians 1:21, "For me, living is Christ, and dying is gain." Can we say the same thing? Am I alive to Christ? Then I will be dead to myself, to my flesh. Are we alive to Christ? Am I dead to myself? We have the Spirit within us, the Spirit of the Almighty God. No burglar, no deceptive philosophy, no progressiveness is able to take away or improve upon your standing being what? Risen in Christ. It's a fact. It's truth. It's not conjecture. It's not a fable. You are risen in Christ. If you believe in Christ, you are risen with Christ. Therefore, you are united with Christ. Amen? He is the source of your life. He is your life through the Spirit of God who indwells you. So then what? So then what? You can seek what is above. You can focus what is above. The Greek word for the word phrase, set your minds, means just that, to think, have a mindset. The activity represented by this word involves the will, your affections, your conscience. It's a choice. You make a choice to do so. You have to choose to be mindful of and or devoted to things above. What do we rest our mind on? What do we think about? It's not that we're no earthly good, that we're so heavenly minded. But we take our directions from Christ. We keep our eyes on Christ. We think about the things that Christ would have us think about and to ponder and to do. We're not of earthly mind, but heavenly mindedness. We have to choose to be mindful. We have to choose to be devoted to. What are the things of Christ and the things of heaven which should consume our thoughts? The things of Christ in heaven are that which bring life and peace to our lives. The things of the flesh are of the earth, that war against God and his glory that take his place of being number one. Is God number one? Those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge and the glory of God. Those are the earthly things. Those are the things that cover up God's glory, that we cast dirt upon, and God doesn't shine through our lives. Those are the earthly things. But we're supposed to dust off those things that cover up God's glory so that everybody might see. Do you put a cover over the light? Do you hide it underneath a blanket? No. You let it shine. You dust it off so that it can shine. You focus on the things from above, not on the things on the earth. Seven thoughts of Christ and the things of heaven. Number one, God sent his Son into the world to redeem men through his death and resurrection. That's thought number one. God sent his Son into the world to redeem men through his death and resurrection, of which I have a part. Romans 1:3-4. Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was a descendant of David according to the flesh and who has been declared to be the powerful Son of God by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness. Number two, Jesus' resurrection saves and justifies men. Jesus' resurrection saves and justifies men. If you're in a progressive church, you won't hear this, because Jesus isn't divine. Because Jesus did not inhabit a human body. That's what a progressive church and a progressive pastor will teach you, because the Word is not the authoritative Word. But if you are of the faith of Paul and Peter and James and of Jesus himself, Jesus' resurrection saves and justifies men. Romans 4:25. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. What does justification mean? It means one is in or set to a right relation with God. Justification means you are set to a right relation with God. Simply, it's when you are made and declared righteous before God. And that is only possible through what? Through faith in Christ. That's the only way. Galatians 2:15, 16. We who are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners know that no one is justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ Jesus. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no human being will be justified. You can't work your way to be righteous. Justification, being made righteous, is only through Christ, and it's only through faith, and it's not by works. You can't work your way into heaven. When we talk about sanctification, Paul says, work out your salvation. He's referring to sanctification. He's referring to the fact that if Jesus is alive in you, and that's a fact, then you will walk with Christ, and you will become like Christ. And the reality of what is new in your life will come pouring out. And you won't be able not to do stuff because you love Christ. You will do his work. You will do his will. Through following the commandments of God, no one is made righteous. True? Through following the commandments of God, no one is made righteous. One is only declared in right standing with God by faith in Jesus. So if I pick up the Bible and I start following what the Bible says here, there, do I have the kingdom? No. It's not. Because you must be saved and have a faith in Jesus. That is the only way that you are declared righteous before God. Many a good person will not have eternal life or find themselves in heaven, even though they do good things or keep the commandments of God. One is only declared justified before God by receiving and believing his son Jesus and following him. Abraham was declared righteous by God because he did what? He believed God. We are declared righteous only by believing in and trusting in Christ. That's how we're united with Christ. Romans 4:22 to 25. Therefore it was credited to him for righteousness. Now it was credited to him was not written for Abraham alone, but also for us. It will be credited to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. He was raised for our righteousness. Being declared righteous is the only way to have peace with God. Being in a right relationship with him, we may think following the Bible and living the world will put us in heaven, but that is like living common law. God only considers that one is truly married when they are bound before God, blessed by God, and follow his commands and will in marriage. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, we have been raised up with Christ into a new life. Therefore, walk in new life. Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. When Jesus was raised up, and we believe in him and put our trust in him, we have new life. Number four, sins and trials no longer have power over us, and we can bear fruit. Romans 7:4. Therefore, my brothers, you also were put to death in relation to the law through the crucified body of the Messiah, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, that we may bear fruit for God. It may seem like that sin still has a hold on us, but it doesn't. If we still believe that sin has a hold on us, who are we listening to? Are we listening to the fact that Jesus tells us, that the Bible tells us, that God has risen us with Christ? Or are we listening to the enemy? What is the fruit of God? Redeeming men by sharing the love of God and his kingdom, accessed by only through belief and trust in Jesus, his Son. A redeemed man will show evidence of his redemption by the Spirit of God living in and through him. Galatians 5:22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. But a reminder, we're all in process. We are all in progress. So those things will eventually, should eventually work out, should come forward. As a tree grows, we grow. It doesn't start as a full-blown tree. It starts as a seed and then a sapling, and then it grows and grows as it's nourished. It bears fruit. It grows up. Colossians 1:10 to 11, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience and joy, with joy. Through our union with Christ, we bear fruit for Christ. We spoke about this last week. A branch of Christ is connected to the vine of Christ and will bear the fruit of Christ. That is a fact. John 15:1 to 5. Fifth, we have a living hope of Christ and God's kingdom waiting for us. God's kingdom is waiting for each of us because we have the living hope of Christ in us. 1 Peter 1:3 to 4. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Amen? Amen. Physical death is not the end of the story for the believer and the non-believer. The believer will be welcomed by Christ into eternal life in the kingdom of God. The non-believer will be judged for his or her sin, and eternal torment will await in hell for the non-believer's rejection of Christ. Note, It is the non-believer's rejection of Christ. The non-believer has made that decision. They have rejected Christ. John 12:48. The one who rejects me and doesn't accept my sayings has this as his judge. The word I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Matthew 13:41-43. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather from his kingdom everything that causes sin and those guilty of lawlessness. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Anyone who has ears should listen. Matthew 12:49-50. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out, separate the evil people from the righteous, and throw them into the blazing furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Mark 9:47-48. And if your eye causes your downfall, gouge it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell, where there the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Our union with Christ, or lack of union with Christ, is a condition that needs to be seriously considered. If we are not hidden in Christ, we are not hidden from hell. If we are hidden in Christ, we are hidden in heaven, in God's kingdom. Romans 2:6-10. He will repay each according to his works. Eternal life to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality. But wrath and indignation to those who are self-seeking and disobey the truth, but are obeying unrighteousness. Affliction and distress for every human being who does evil, first to the Jew and also to the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does what is good, first to the Jew and also to the Greek. 6. Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. Romans 6:5, for if we have been joined with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. The believer in Christ is counted as dead in Christ when we believe in him. Catch that. The believer in Christ is counted as dead in Christ when we believe in him. Being dead, a dead man cannot sin. Amen? Amen? Being dead, a dead man cannot sin. A dead man no longer lives for this earth, but for God's kingdom to come. Being dead in Christ, we are dead to sin and dead to its effects. But being resurrected with Christ, we are alive to Christ, to the same benefits of Christ. We live and move and we have our being in Christ. It may take a little bit for us to catch that, because the enemy does not want us to know that. He doesn't want us to understand that. He wants us to believe that we're still under the power of sin and death. But we have died in Christ. We are dead to sin. It's a fact. The enemy will want you to believe that that is not a fact. That death still has power over our lives. But being dead in Christ, we are dead to sin. We are dead to its effects. But being resurrected with Christ, we are alive in Christ, and we have the same benefits as Christ. Do you live and have your being in Christ? Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. 2 Corinthians 4:14. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and present us with you. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14-18. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. For we say this to you by a revelation from the Lord. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly have no advantage over those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Amen? Then therefore encourage one another with those words, Paul says. Are you hidden in Christ? God will judge the world by Christ. Point seven. Acts 17:31, because he has set a day when he is going to judge the world in righteousness by the man he has appointed. He has provided proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Do you believe this? Is it fact or is it fiction? John 5:27-28, and he has granted him the right to pass judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, because a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and they will come out. Those who have done good things to the resurrection of life, but those who have done wicked things to the resurrection of judgment. So therefore, what do we take from this? Be full in Christ. Because you are united with Christ if you have believed upon and trusted in Christ. You may not feel that this is true, but in fact, it is true. Feelings are what? Feelings are deceptive. They can be manipulated. And Satan is the great deceiver, the manipulator, waiting to gnaw upon your feelings in order to deceive you and make you believe you are less than what you truly are in Christ. Be full in Christ because you are hidden in Christ. Amen? One will never have peace with God in this world or in the age to come without a right relationship with Christ. You can't just follow the commandments. You have to have a relationship with Christ. You have to believe and have faith in him. And what he accomplished on the cross is applied to you. You become one with him. The only way that you know that this is true, that you've been hidden with Christ and become truly united with him, is by the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life and in your actions. God does not wish for any person, any human being, to be separated from him, but he will not override one's own decision to reject Christ. He will not make you do it. Be hidden in Christ. Be united with him and be united with God. We will always live the life we are alive to. That is a truth. That is a fact. We will always live the life that we are alive to. What am I? Who am I alive to? What does it look like to live a life alive unto God, hidden in Christ? Look at the story of Elijah. Elijah was freed from death because he was hidden in God. Will you and I be freed from sin and death because we are hidden in Christ? Be hidden in Christ, be united in him, have peace with God, be full in Christ. Amen.